How's your week been? I didn't see the hands a while ago that as Gary was taking a poll. Do you ever feel like God doesn't hear your prayers? You ever pose that question? Lord, are you really listening to me? If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read some beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1. This story, beautiful story. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. First mistake. What's he done? He's going the other way from the leading of God. So he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship which was going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's always a bad statement, from the presence of the Lord. The Lord heard a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid. By the way, what was usually their presupposition when a storm came against them like that? Somebody was on that ship that wasn't supposed to be, and they had done something wrong to offend one of the gods that they believed in. And every man cried to his God. They threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them, but Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship and lain down and fallen sound asleep. Second key here that Jonah might be a little disengaged from the process. I'll just go to sleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you're sleeping? Get up and call on your God." By the way, you know, all hell's breaking loose here. We got to call on everyone that's out there and available. Maybe one of them will answer. "Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account the calamity has struck us." Now, I'm not making a case today, nor is the Bible making a case for casting lots to find out who's the guilty or offending party here. But God, as He is often accustomed to doing with us, can use whatever means He wants to speak His word and His truth. And He uses this. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Those are all good questions if you're going to find out what the problem is. He said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven." He fears Yahweh, who made the sea and the dry land. Interesting that he would say, "He made the sea and the dry land." There's a prophetic part of everything that's being spoken. Even in what the captain of the ship says, "Are you not concerned that we will perish? Pray to your God that He'll save us." A lot of prophetic words here. Verse 10, "Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, 'How could you do this?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Third thing in here, Jonah makes a mistake along the way of telling these other guys, back when it didn't really mean very much, and they were all happy-go-lucky, but Jonah's thinking about, I'm running away from God, and he happens to mention that to them. Well, later on, they remember that he has mentioned that to them. He's running from his God. So he said to him, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea has become increasingly stormy. He said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. Now let's stop there for just a moment. This has nothing to do with the sermon I'm preaching today, but I think it has a very, very good point. Many of us in this room here, we're sitting here today, and we don't think our choices make a difference in other people's lives. What we decide to do with our time, with our money, whether or not we show up for something and we're not there or we're away, that it doesn't affect people. I'm here to give you today Exhibit A that what you do, the choices you make, how you think, where you decide to be at a given time and place has a great deal to do with everybody around you. If you think you're living your life alone somewhere, whether you're making good decisions or bad decisions, you are mistaken. You are living in the context of where you are, and it affects people. And sometimes more than you could ever realize. In this case, Jonah, his disobedience was having a great effect on a lot of pagans. However, the men rowed desperately to return to land. See, they didn't want to throw him in. They liked him. But they could not. The sea was becoming even stormier against them. What do you think? How much effort do you think it took God to make the sea stormy? Do it again, Donnie. There you go. Here it is. Here it is. Can you see the? You got a picture of the boat? You know. Then they called on Yahweh. Now, it says the Lord. It says that Lord in those caps, the convention is Yahweh. They've heard Jonah use his name. So now they're going to call on him. They've tried their guys, and their guys don't work. And so far, at least Jonah has been honest after the fact. So they start crying to the Lord. We earnestly pray, O Yahweh, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Doesn't this just strike you kind of odd? These guys that don't believe it, but they're praying because they recognize him. Let me pause for just a moment. Do you think there are people in your life that today that you live around that are not Christian, but they recognize God and they recognize His work? You better believe they are. Again, the point, you're not living alone. Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. What does that mean? They don't want to put him to death. They know it's a death sentence throwing him into the sea. You, O Yahweh, have done as you please. Man, this is some great theology. You know, some great theology that can come out of the mouth of a pagan, isn't it? So they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped. It's raging. The sense of the language that is there, the original text, is, you got it? It stopped. immediately. And then the men feared the Lord greatly. Now, the word fear there is a word that it means more of a reverential awe for Him. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish. Boy, we could spend hours. I got a stack of commentaries like that on the identity of that fish. All I need to know is Yahweh had appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, what do we have being forecast here? Just as, later on we'd read in the New Testament, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be. And then what happens after that? There's a resurrection. Also, you know, they said that Jesus was like glowing, you know, that he had this appearance, this bright appearance. What do you think Jonah looked like when he came out of the belly of that great fish? Gastric juices. Now, he might not have been white when he went in, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there was no color left in his body when he came out. He had everything about him was white. I guess he didn't smell good either. Okay. So now here's Jonah in the belly of the great fish, chapter 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord. Now, finally, Jonah's praying. But where's Jonah have to be before he starts his prayer? He had to be relieved of his previous circumstances. Isn't that the way it is with us a lot of times? God's got to jerk us out of our previous circumstances, our comfort zone. So now, you know, there's no TV, there's no cable in there. There's no sit. So there he is. And here's the prayer. Jonah prays to Yahweh, his God, from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, to Yahweh. And he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Now, stop there for just a minute. What do you think was going through his mind as he was sailing off that ship into the sea? This is it. I'm gone. And then, when you sense this vacuum take place, imagine what that's like as this great fish swallows him. I mean, you're already thinking you're going to die. Now, how does it get worse than that? Is that the last thing that's going to go through your mind is that I'm being eaten by something in the sea. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, and you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep. So what's he coming in agreement with there? God was in charge. And it wasn't those guys. He'd answered their prayer. They had no blood on their hands. Into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I've been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought me up, my life, from the pit, O Yahweh, my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. and my prayer came to you. Into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you. What's already happened on the deck of that ship? Even the pagans have already made a sacrifice. Now, God's man decides he will do the same. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving that which I vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Root of that word salvation is what? Same word, Yeshua. And then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. Where are you right now in your life? Most of us have to be in trouble before we'll cry out to God. Jonah was in big trouble. Most of us have to be at the point where we have exhausted all human means to answer our dilemma. Are you isolated and hopeless? See how the Lord has separated Jonah? But for what reason? So Jonah will hear his voice again. And we feel, when we're at this point, like we're surrounded by threats. And it's even indicative, he said his head was wrapped around with this seaweed. Imagine. Is God listening to you? Did God listen to Jonah? God knows where you are. He knows what your situation is. He knows your circumstance. And maybe the other people in your life, maybe the people that ought to, don't know or don't care, or you feel like they don't care. The one who created you, who struck you in His own image, who in eternity past loved you, enough to plan to send His unique one and only Son Jesus to be your Savior. The one who can identify with every temptation that you have ever had and ever will have. Who knows your situation. He cares about you. And the one who cares about you will never disappoint you. Some of us think because we have failed God in the past that God is going to write us off. He'll desert us in our time of need. We've got this crazy legalism going on where we spit on the grace and the mercy and the love of God. If that were true, He would have just let Jonah die. My opinion that it was a gigantic whale that swallowed him. It could have been a great white with some big teeth. God had been trying to get Jonah's attention because He had given him an assignment. He was to go as God's prophet to the city of Nineveh and preach repentance. Which, by the way, he did. After that, he followed through. And, you know, you read the rest of the story and you see how he's upset when God intervenes and saves the city. He still didn't get it. God had been trying to get his attention all along. I want you to look back in your life. Has God been trying to get your attention? What has He been saying to you? Can you see the hand of God in your life? Can you see Him putting His hand on you? Can you see Him directing your path? Can you see Him saving you from some things that you didn't understand at the time? putting you where you needed to be. And even the stuff you thought that was bad at the time, He made the minus a plus in your life, if you let Him. Even though we don't realize that God's been watching over us because He's God. He's Yahweh. He is Lord of all. He's the one who made us in His own image. He's the one who sent His only Son to remake us in His image. We accept this by faith. And then by circumstance, we get to prove it out over and over again. Are you listening to me? Do you hear me today? God listens to everything you say, just like He was listening to the prayer of Jonah. Can you see Him just bearing His soul? He did it. God will answer you when you call out to Him. Did He answer Jonah? First of all, did He answer the pagans? He even answered them. Now think about that statement Jesus made. You know, if we as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, what more of our heavenly Father will He have? So what's your next step? You look at the life of Jonah, you look at this experience in his life. Every journey starts with a first step. You could take this story in today and say, well, that's good information, Pastor. I'll take that under consideration. Or you could take a first step today. God gives you the choice. It doesn't force you. It's your free will. Don't wait until your life gets worse before you call out to God. He's ready right now with whatever you bring to Him. He'll help you face whatever it is you're going through right now because He's God. Call out to Him right now. He's listening. You say, I don't have the words to say to the Lord. He hears your heart. I hear sometimes the jabbering of a very young toddler that is jabbering to his mother, and she's sitting there like she understands every word. Does she? She knows His heart. She can read in between the lines. In fact, especially if he's a boy, as he grows up, he'll realize that she can read his mind. Just a little shout across the bow to all you guys today. Your mom can read your mind. Call out to God. He's listening. But when you call out to Him, listen to what He has to say. And avoid the temptation of telling Him how He needs to answer your prayer. Let's go back to the story for just a moment. Could Jonah have ever imagined that God would answer the prayer like this? In your wildest dreams, could it happen? No way. Those guys, as they're pitching him into the sea and saying, "No, no blood on our hand," as they're saying, could they have ever imagined that it would happen? It would turn out this way. Of course not. Listen to what God has to say. Now, you listening to me? If you knew how to get you out of where you are today, you would have already done that for you. Would you not have done that for you? Got it? So when we pray, you say, well, I just don't understand why God's telling me to do that. Well, you didn't even understand the full breadth of the problem. Listen and do what He says. Do what He says. Because when you don't do what He says, what happens? You get swallowed, thrown off the boat, and you get swallowed by a big fish. Be obedient. What's he require? Simple obedience. Do what he says. As we pray today, what is he saying to you today? What's he speaking to you? Anybody got any big time problems today that you don't have an answer to? We got bad news Thursday at my house. My mother's cancer is bigger now. It's grown, not shrunk. That's bad news. It's a circumstance I didn't want. Didn't ask for. I cried. Done a little belly aching to God about that. I'm praying. I'm engaging. Because the one who is Lord over everything is Lord over what is in her body. Praying in that way. She told me last week, I said, Mom, what would you like to do? She said, only thing I can say right now that I'd like to do, that I'd like to be there with you on Sunday morning. And I cried again. After I left, of course. Because we laugh and cut up when we're there and we keep it light most of the time. And I thought, how many times have I just run by the opportunity the Lord gave me to be with His people, to enjoy fellowship, to enjoy it, and I look on it as a drudgery, as something I have to do, and here's my mother, you know, 90-something pounds, you know, 5'8", 90-something pounds, you know, and I ask her the one thing she wants, you know, I'd just like to be there and worship with the body. I'd like to do that one time. I said, oh boy. Kind of put it all in perspective for me. What's important in life? What's bigger than you in your life right now? You got a situation? And I want you to know today, if you've never received Jesus in your life, He'll change your life. He will change you if you lie. He will forgive you your sin. He'll make you a new person if you let Him. And there's some of you sitting here today that have never done that before. You've never really let and let Him become the Lord of your life. You've played around the edges with religion. You thought that, you know, if I attend church, you know, that I'll be a Christian. You know, that's like saying I'll go into a garage and I'll become a car. You know, it doesn't happen that way. It's coming to Him and saying, Lord, I have sinned against You. But I'm asking You, Jesus, the Savior of my soul, who died on the cross in my place, who rose on the third day, to come into my life and change me and make me a new person. He'll do it. He'll change you. That's the big stuff. That's the big stuff. So what about it? Told Gary we were going to pray today. Daniel, we're going to pray again for Daniel. Daniel's been diagnosed with Marfan's syndrome, which causes a thinning of the aorta in his heart. And, you know, we're praying that God's going to take that away from him. He's going back to the doctor tomorrow. There are other situations. I'm looking at some of the rest of you. You've got stuff on you right now that's bigger than you. And are you saying in your mind, are you coming in agreement with the evil one who's wanting to say, God can't do anything about your problem. He's left you. I want you to know, God not only will do something, He's right there with you right now. He's ready to act. He's ready to move with His presence and with His power. He is here. He's in the house. But we've got to call out to Him. We're going to open the altar for you to come. You can sit where you want. That's fine. God doesn't care how you genuflect. You can come and pray here together. Go get someone else to pray, to intercede for people. Does it matter if you pray? Does it? Of course it does. It even mattered that pagans were praying. What about it? What about it? He hears you today. He hears your heart. And you may be able to say, you may be thinking that day, man, I can't even put it in words. He hears that too. I was trying to explain to a good friend of mine this past week about my feelings about something. I got so frustrated. So I'm accustomed to being able to think, have a connection with my heart, my head, and be able to speak it. At least where I understand it. Blah, 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 blah. Felt like Porky Pig. Bitty, 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 bitty. You know, speaking, and then when I got through, and it took longer than I wanted, I'm thinking, you know, I know he's thinking I'm just circling the airport. You know, when you gonna come in for landing? What point are you making now? Come on in, you know, come on down and say what. And I got to the end of it, and then the Holy Spirit just said to me right there, Dusty, son, I've revealed it to you. It's not up to you. You don't have to speak. Shown it to his heart. Then he prayed for me. And I knew God had spoken. Do you get me? Do you get me? This is real life. This isn't fooling around. This isn't religion. This is real life stuff. Jesus is Lord. 3 days in the belly of that whale. 3 days, 3 nights. Boom! A resurrection. What are you in the middle of right now that God wants to spew you out onto dry land? Terra firma. Lord, we come to you with all our stuff. Lord, we can't even articulate very well. I'm asking you today, Lord, I'm asking you all the things on our hearts. Lord, I'm praying today that we will not just do a drive-by. But right now, we'll open and we'll say, come, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. Work in my life. Come. Lord, I pray for salvation for anyone today in the sound of my voice who has never received Jesus the Christ, the crucified and risen and coming again, Jesus, into their lives. I pray for their salvation right now. Lord, come, Lord. The altar's open.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead me by still waters into mercy. Nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people Remember your children. Your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace, it's enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Lord, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of heaven's victory. And all your people sing along. So remember your people. Remember your children, Lord. And your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. For me, your grace is enough, Lord. Your grace is enough. It's enough for me.
You guys look this way for just a moment. Dusty shared what's going on with Miss Beverly right now, and you know, we're in it together, aren't we? All right. So today we're going to pray for Miss Beverly, Mr. Dale, and our brother. Audrey, where are you? Oh, she's in the back, isn't she? All right, well, come over here. Come over here. It could be. Could be. So if you want to come up here real quick and join us as we surround our brother, why don't you scoot up here a little bit, Dusty? Oh, Dusty said today's his dad's birthday. 83. And still as funny as he was at 82, probably. All right, come here, Logan. Well, let's pray. Father, we are standing in the gap for our sister. And Lord, what a testimony to faithfulness. Father, if any of us ever wonder what it's like to go on and on and on in faithfulness to the kingdom of God, what a powerful testimony, Beverly. Has been and is being. Miss Beverly, what a blessing. Every one of us have been touched. Even the people that have never, ever met her have been blessed. Why? Because she's at home praying. She isn't just sitting there letting the time go by. She is praying and thinking of us. And Lord, how much she loves us. What a pure love it is. And Lord, I would pray this morning for Mr. Dale, Miss Beverly, as they're at home, to feel the presence of God. Lord, I don't know what that means from your perspective to them at this moment. But Lord, I would pray that their spirits be lifted. That, Father, that they would know that the body of Christ, and not just here, not just at the Sycamore Church, but Lord, across the entire world, there are people praying for her healing, praying for much grace and mercy. And Lord, I thank you today that she is counting on us. But Lord, she isn't just kind of wishful thinking that somebody will be praying for her. She'll know that we're praying for her. And Lord, as we lift up my brother here, Dusty, and his family, God, I would pray for encouragement for them today. I pray for encouragement for Vic and Leanne and Rachel too, Father. And Lord, I am thankful today, as was been declared out loud already, bigger than circumstances, bigger than doctor's diagnosis, bigger than medical, Lord, bigger than anything that man has ever created is you and your love and your grace and your mercy. God, I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, this isn't just about Miss Beverly's healing. It is about the more, and Lord, it is about the more that we do see, but maybe more importantly, the more that we don't see and that we don't fully understand. Lord, may you be glorified and honored through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.